I love doing this. I love when we do it. I missed doing it last week. I wasn't as intellectually stimulated as I usually am. I genuinely wasn't. But it's interesting. Blind Boy, are you smoking? It sounds like you might be in the middle of smoking. How are you?
Yeah, I'm smoking my electric fag.
How is your electric fag? Have you found a flavour you like yet?
I do. There's a gorgeous flavour that I get. It's a Skittles flavour. But unfortunately, right now, I've ran out and I'm using this really cheap, fizzy apple stuff. And it tastes like sucking carpets.
Oh, dear. It's kind of the difference between, like, pound shop and, like, high-end, you know,
yeah,
sweets. Oh, yes.
I get the high-end. The high-end stuff, unfortunately, it's got a British flag on it. But it's, like, 60 quid a bottle. And it's really good stuff.
And can I ask you, Blind Boy, have you gone back to smoking regular cigarettes at all?
It makes regular cigarettes seem disgusting.
Brilliant.
See, I would say you nearly probably want the electronic cigs. Once you've had like flavours like Skittles and Apple and stuff, you probably can't even go back to normal cigs. Did you say it's six a bottle?
The crappy one is six a bottle, but the good one that I get with the butcher's apron on it is like, that's nearly €18, but it's well worth it. You
and
know?
In equivalent, how many fags would that be?
Oh, Jesus, that's €18 for a month.
Oh, wow. Jeez, that's not bad.
Yeah.
That's all right. Jesus, fair enough.
And how much is the e-cigarette itself?
Well, you start off on cheap ones for about 20, but once you get into it, like my one now is worth about 90 quid, like, but it's worth it. Like, I mean, Jesus.
Oh, look,
how expensive are fags, you know what I mean?
No, of course. And I heard, like, as in, obviously they have their own kind of risks, but e-cigs aren't half as bad for you. Because I remember Blind Boy chatting to us about the e-cigs before, and he was saying that, you know, that's where he's going now. So what are you smoking now? The cheap apple stuff?
Yeah, the cheap fizzy apple, but it doesn't taste like fizzy apple. It tastes like licorice's brother.
Okay, yeah. It tastes like kind of a few E numbers and a few kind of, you know, big batch lots that were made in Taiwan or something. I get you. Well, look.
Well, did you see the NHS over in England now? The NHS are now introducing the e-cigarettes on prescription, and they reckon it's going to save them, I think, 75,000 lives a year.
Wow.
Yeah, did I hear that? That they're actually prescribing e-cigarettes to people who are, you know, properly clinically addicted to smoking.
Yeah.
Actually, Blind Boy, that's an interesting question for you. Smokers, do we punish them? Do we keep putting up the price of fags? Do we treat them as though they have an illness? I mean, what do we do with smokers? I mean, you're a smoker. What do we do with them? Because did you hear they're thinking of putting it up to €13 a box?
Since the price of fags got unreasonable, right? Unreasonable is 10 quid a box.
Yeah, that
all
is unreasonable.
All it's done is it's pushed it towards the black market.
Sure.
So people go to Moore Street now to get their fags. So it's not working in that respect. There's one idea that I heard once. I don't know whether it was Ireland or England, but they suggested that cigarettes become completely illegal for anyone born after the year 2000.
Okay, so they say for people who are addicted already, obviously we can't just completely criminalise it. But if anyone else going forward, you guys aren't going near the cigarettes kind of thing.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's
and
an
I
interesting
think that would
concept.
Actually work. If you're... What age? If you're born in 2000,
you'd be
15.
Yeah, exactly. Might be around 14, 15. So I get you, because that's the age where everyone gets addicted. When did you get addicted, Blind Boy?
Oh God, I would have been about 9.
See, that's exactly. Yeah, but that's probably a bit earlier than most people. But exactly, I mean, that's when you started. So do you think we should put it up to €13 a box? Is that going to do anything, or is this just going to, you know?
It's going to push it towards the black market even more.
Yeah. Oh man, that's it. No, I hear you.
Blind Boy, I was in Bristol lately, and I was thinking about you, right? And
this isn't
a romantic story. But I was over, and I was looking at some original Banksy street graffiti, because obviously he was born in Bristol, or he seemingly supposedly was born in Bristol. And I saw one particular one was the girl with the burst eardrum. It's a play on the girl with the pearl earring. And, you know, I was like, okay, obviously I've followed kind of what Banksy's been up to. But when I left Bristol, my friend emailed me, and she was like, Kira, there's this big massive exhibition in Somerset, which is close enough to Bristol, and it's called Dismaland. Have you seen that? And I was dying to ask your opinion on it, because I have a couple of mixed opinions on it, to be deadly honest.
Okay, what do you think, first of all?
I think that I love Banksy's street art. I
sure.
do.
Yeah.
I love the phenomenon of Banksy. I love the way that nobody really knows who he is. You know, I love the anonymity and all that sort of stuff. But one half of me was like, oh, come on, Banksy. We know that life is shit. We know that life is tough. We know that Disneyland, you know, we know that probably behind the scenes in Disneyland, it isn't as happy as everybody is, you know, making it out to be, let's say.
Yeah, of course.
And half of me was like, we know life is shit. Banksy, we don't need you. doing this now and telling us because we know it already, you know?
As in, are you trying to say, Bansi, can you not just give us this? Can you not just give us a little bit of fantasy?
Can you not just give us Disneyland?
You have to be this miserable.
And I know there's so many unrealistic expectations for young children who think that they're princes and princesses and that life is like, you know, you lose your shoe and then you find a man and you marry him.
Then
you know,
an amazing man that's like the top 0.1% of physical exactly. attractiveness just decides he's going to do you.
A chiseled jaw.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know? Who's a millionaire who just decides he wants just you for no reason.
But half of me was like, oh my God. There was one half of me that was like, God, I'd love to go and see this. And the other half of me was like, screw you, Banksy.
Yeah,
you know?
Stop being so miserable. And I get what you're saying.
I know that you're massively into your art and I was just wondering your opinion on the whole thing.
Well, I agree with you about that Disneyland thing. I mean, first of all, this is what I love about Banksy. Banksy is he'd be a high contemporary artist, right? So, but he's the only contemporary artist out there whose art doesn't isolate normal people, average people. Most art galleries you walk into nowadays, and if you don't know your stuff, you're hugely intimidated, you don't enjoy it, and there's this massive gap between art and the average person who consumes popular culture, and it's become very religious.
Sure, it's very alienating.
Very alienating, and I don't see the point of art if art doesn't include people. I just don't get it. But with Banksy, the thing with Disneyland is that it's the first time I've looked at a piece of Banksy's work and I felt that he's a little bit out of touch, because the whole reminding everybody, the name for that, it's called detournement. It was invented by an artist called the Dada Group in the 20s and 30s, where basically Banksy would get like a McDonald's logo and put it ironically with a lump of shit beside it or something.
Sure,
just
exactly.
Posing. Yeah. But it's a very, very much a pre-9/11 kind of thing. It ties up with 1990s kind of irony. And with the internet and with internet memes in particular, it's diluted the impact of Banksy. So for the first time ever, I've looked at a piece of Banksy's work, this Disneyland, and it hasn't felt vital. It hasn't felt like impact to what I expect from Banksy. So I think the guy's just getting a bit old. He's not as relevant as he was, you know?
That's interesting.
You go ahead, sir.
I read another article as well, and seemingly people went crazy to go see this exhibition. And in one way, you're kind of going there doing it because it's the cool thing to do because it's Banksy. You know what I mean? And the other way, obviously, people are going to be interested in this and it's all over the internet and stuff like that. And seemingly the website crashed. And because he was Banksy, everyone was like, oh, he's doing this on purpose. There's a reason that the website crashed. And seemingly Banksy had to come out and be like, lads, listen, I had nothing to do with the website crashing. There was just a load of people, you know, on trying to buy tickets to go and see this exhibition.
Yeah, exactly. Do you think it becomes a bit Emperor's New Clothesy as well? As in the sense that the damn server crashes, some server in Taiwan crashes, and everyone's like, no, this is Banksy doing his thing. This is like really high concept. Banksy knows what he's doing. This is about consumerism. And you're like, no, the website just crashed. Do you think it gets to the point, Blind Boy, where when an artist gets a name, and as you say, they can be out of touch, they can be kind of self-indulgent, but because they've developed such a loyal fan base that initially found them really accessible, that the fan base can just be like, no, this is brilliance, this is absolute brilliance. Mm-hmm. You kind of get there eventually, don't you? You know what I mean? If you're an artist
at
this level.
And that's something that Samuel Beckett used to deliberately play upon. I mean, some of Beckett's plays are just absolutely absurd. I mean, I think Beckett's got a play that's only something like a second long.
I actually studied Samuel Beckett in college, and he has one particular play that you're just like, what on earth is this? And you like that, you kind of wonder, was he pulling the piss? Because half of me when I was studying him was like, he's pulling the piss, he can't be for real, you know?
Well, I think part of him was pulling the piss. I do think so.
Yeah.
The Beatles did that with Helter Skelter as well, didn't they? Like, have you ever heard Helter Skelter?
I've heard that Helter Skelter is considered the first heavy metal song.
Yeah, but they were almost doing it to take the piss, if you know what I'm saying. Like, they were just literally aggressively strumming notes and, like...
Yeah.
And, like, it was almost sounded bad at the time. But everyone was like, no, guys, this is really good. Don't you get it? This is the Beatles. What they're doing is amazing. Go ahead.
The finest examples of that exact thing is Lou Reed has an album called Metal Machine Music.
And sure.
He released it in 1975, and basically he wanted to get out of a record contract. So he released it's four LPs, and he basically left his guitar on an amplifier.
Wow!
And left the room, and it's four LPs of that.
Yeah.
But at the time, it was rubbish.
Yeah,
but
sure.
Now hipsters are reassessing it in terms of like great ambient music,
oh,
and
God.
Lou Reed is like, no, lads, I just left my guitar on an amp. I really wanted a new contract.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? So obviously he satisfied what the remaining thing was, which was another 3 or 4 albums, and just said, there you go, and then, wow. But see, that is amazing. Like, this song's horrible.
That's just the thing with what we try and do. Like, when we... Like, we went to the Venice Biennale, like I told you earlier. Yeah. We represented Ireland at that. And the big thing that we do is that, like, we consider ourselves to be artists, right?
Yeah.
But we don't use the traditional gallery space. We like to do artistic things, but in the format of entertainment, so that everybody can relate to it. And it's not this big, isolated thing where people get to rub their chins and go, oh, you didn't get it. You must be stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Absolutely. You guys are very accessible. But you are artists, as you say, without question. I mean, you guys most definitely are. And that's what's...
But that's where we come from, you know?
Yeah.
That's what we try and do.
But yeah, of course.
I don't want anything. Like, we've got an exhibition now in Tokyo in September.
No, you don't,
what?
Do you?
Yeah, we
wow.
do.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know about this. When did this happen?
I must have just announced it now.
Well, there you go. Were you allowed to announce it, Blindwood? Because you're going to get in trouble with that Englishman who's your agent.
No, I won't. No, it's on in Yokohama Gallery or something. I can't think of the name of it, but I put it on Facebook. But no, we have an exhibition in Japan.
Wow.
Basically, I've got a couple of our videos, Spastic Hawk, Shift Girls, and with a statement of intent, and it's going to be in a Japanese gallery. But the problem is, right, in Japan, we are probably normal.
Yeah, see, that's it. You guys are kind of passé and, oh, yeah, sure, this is normal. These guys, this insanity. Oh, my God, we need something new.
Why
I get
aren't
you,
they dressed
yeah.
in schoolgirl outfits?
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Brian, did you guys in any way put any tentacles in it or schoolgirling in it, anything like that to make it a little bit more regionalised?
I consciously chose the song Shift Girls, which is basically 4 minutes of me shifting about, I think it's 34 women.
Man, you must have had so much fun doing that video, because I remember that video. They're all really good-looking girls.
That was a bet between me and Mr. Chrome. I said to Mr. Chrome, I bet you I can get RTE to pay for me to shift a load of girls.
It worked.
And they did, so I wrote the song for that. And then TV license payers' money, me shifting about 30 girls.
That,
wow.
That look, I was glad to pay
money
that.
Money well spent.
Yeah, man, most definitely. So, man, congrats on that. So that's in September. You're going to have an exhibition in Tokyo. That's very cool. So what songs you have are Spastic Hawk and Shift Girls?
Yeah,
Very nice.
I think those are the two that, like, Spastic Hawk is nice and visual because it's got a children's book inside in it, and with Shift Girls, it's just me, a man with a bag in his head.
Shifting girls,
Western women.
Yeah, look, man, what's wrong?
Would love that,
they
know?
Love the all Western women, absolutely.
Exactly.
Of the women in the Shift Girls video look a little old, though, unfortunately. Like, they look in their late 20s. I mean, that's not going to fly there over there. They're going to be disgusted.
Actually, yeah.
But look, Blind Boy, that's very cool. And are you and Mr. Chrome going to head down and curate it in any way, or will you be observing
from
it?
I'd love to. We're off the walls with this ITV thing, so we have to forego the trip to Japan.
Oh, dear.
I wanted to try and appear in hologram. I'm serious, man. Did you hear about... There's this rapper... Wait till you hear this story.
Yeah.
There's this rapper called Chief Keef, right?
And yes.
He's a young rapper, very violent kind of gangster rap from Chicago. But anyway, Chief Keef did it. He's wanted in Illinois on several charges, so he can't enter Illinois. He did a gig as a hologram a month ago in Illinois, and the police shut it off and tried to arrest his hologram.
What?
I
no!
You can look it up. Look up Chief hologram.
Wow.
Because
right?
I've heard of all these holograms. I know Tupac appeared as a hologram, on Burning
Coachella
Man or Coachella and stuff.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's amazing. I didn't know they tried to arrest that.
Wiz Khalifa was arrested in an airport yesterday for going on a hoverboard.
Did you see that?
I saw that.
I thought they were very heavy-handed with him. You know?
It's so future. Like, one rapper's getting arrested as a hologram, the other one's using a hoverboard.
It is a little future, all right, yeah.
Yeah.
These gentlemen, these police officers, very intimidated by the whole thing, obviously.
Are they going to have to go back to police school, in fairness? Because how are they going to, you know, deal? I'm sure there isn't legislation for holograms.
No, I'm sure there's no procedure.
The best part.
Yeah, exactly.
Afterwards, the police were going, I don't know what this is. There's nothing for this. But the most amazing part for me, right, is that all these teenagers who were probably, they're like, because Chief Keef's fans are quite young, so they'd have been born after 2000.
Sure.
Their experience of media is so hyper real that they don't care that a hologram is there. They don't care. They have no, their grasp of authenticity doesn't exist.
But
they don't
sure,
even know what a CD is.
Myself and Chris said this. Ed Sheeran played here in 2FM, right? And we were up the back looking at Ed Sheeran doing his gig, and all these teenagers came in. And they were literally within a hair's breadth of Ed Sheeran. And they watched him right in front of them through their iPads. and through their iPhones.
Yeah. It was insane.
It was the weirdest thing I've ever seen in my life.
There were some girls in there who did not actually look at him directly for the whole thing. They were looking at him through their iPad.
They could have reached out and touched
him. They were literally a foot from him.
Yeah.
But they were looking at him through an iPad. It was the most surreal thing I've ever seen.
In philosophy, this is known as the hyperreal simulacrum. That's the name for that exact state. And it's the current kind of state of affairs. And to go back to Banksy, it's the reason Banksy's not working anymore. He's not dealing with the hyper-real anymore. We live in a hyper-real world. We live in a world where you go onto Facebook and I've got someone in Syria chopping someone's head off and then a cat getting robbed underneath.
I know.
Is the world we live in.
No, man, I hear you. What a world to live in, right? But look, Blind Boy, of course, one half of the Rubber Bandits. A lot coming up. I mean, you got the ITV show. You got the show that's going to be on RTE about the 1916 Rising. You got
exhibit
in Tokyo.
That, yeah.
Do we have a date yet?
I don't know yet. I'm hoping RTE will release it kind of sooner rather than later.
You were saying that, yeah.
No, absolutely, because obviously it'd be nice to have a bit of breathing room between now and the actual event. But look, we will keep everybody posted. Blind Boy from the Rubber Bandits, as always, dude, thanks for coming on and chatting with us.
Yart, nice one. Have a good night, lads.
You too, man.
Thank you.
There's Blind Boy. Telling us what's going on, as always. Hey, how about this? On the way for you, Weekend, Can't Feel My Face, but first a little bit of Feder. This song is amazing. It's called Goodbye.
Feder or...
No, not Roger Federer.
Feder.
See, here's the thing. It's F-E-D-E-R.
That's nearly Federer. I love it. This is my favourite song. I love it. Play it, Chris.
It's featuring Lyse, L-Y-S-E. Do you like him?
No. And can I just say...
Okay, then, yeah.
Federer would never have Lyse.